up, folks, and welcome back to the Shiitake Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Join me this week is my co-host, Mamax. Say what's up to the people.
Hey, hey, we got a new intro and outro, too. Yay! I guess we got that last week, but I forgot to mention it.
It's about time for an update. It's been a minute.
Yeah. 3 years, man. So, never changed it. Yeah.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh,
but,
my.
So we're coming back for season two episode today. We are reviewing season two of Bleach, The Thousand Year Blood War, also known as, what is it, Separation? Thousand Year Blood War Separation, I believe it's called.
Yeah, the Separation part. Mm-hmm.
So, but before we get into that, Mamats, we have a fan question, right?
Yes. Somebody reach out to us and request us to feature their question in the show.
So, and this is kind of weird because this person looks like they only made an Instagram. Oh, no, they had an Instagram. They had 109 followers, but they reach out to us on Instagram. So shout out to Osiris. Don't know what happened to Instagram, but it's gone now. But whatever. So the question goes like this. So it says, the question of the week should be, if your favorite waifu was real, would you take the chance to marry them? You said we've done this question before. I think we've done something similar before.
Yeah, somewhat similar.
I don't think we actually talked about marriage. I think we chose, like, if you could pick one waifu to make real, who would it be? But we'll replay that one. Let's see if our answers have changed. We've watched a lot more anime since we did that one. All right. Maybe we have a new waifu in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go with this, though. Who would you choose as a waifu to bring to the real world? And would you marry them? Or just kind of have this, like, kind of keep them in the closet?
I mean, that is not the only question, though. Would your waifu marry you, though? Right?
The answer to that is almost always a resounding no.
No.
Let's be real. 90% of the waifus out there are out of the league of like 99.999% of their fans. Okay? Almost all of them.
Yeah, if you listen back to our Recreators episode, like, just look at that. Even the creator itself wants to kill their creator, man. If they are real,
right.
This is waifu. So, all right. So let's answer his question first. So my ultimate waifu is Senjo Gahara Hitagi from Bakemonogatari. From Monogatari series. So, yes, I would marry her, of course. But still, my question still stands. Will she marry me? I don't think so. I
mean, you gotta fake it till you make it, bro. You gotta have what they call it, that I hate this damn word. Oh, you gotta have that rizz. I hate that fucking word so much.
but you know my case. All of the girls that I pick is the kind that, going to kill me or step on me or something. Yeah. Yes, I like that kind of stuff. But
I mean, they might keep you. They might. I don't think they'll marry you. They might keep you around as a pet.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I can see that. You'd be obedient. I mean,
I don't know. Probably. I mean, I will choose that over anything else in the world, for real. But still, that is a very, very low chance that is going to happen. Maybe she's going to wander around and pick somebody else to marry, you know? Yeah. So how about you, man? How about you?
See, this raises an interesting dilemma.
Yeah.
Do I choose, like, my top waifu? Or do I choose a waifu I could probably get to marry me?
Wow. Because
they're not the same.
Okay, yeah, I know. I
Like,
know.
don't get me wrong. She's like, she would be in my waifu roster, but would she be a waifu that would actually marry me that's in my roster?
Yeah, I mean, if
So,
she is kind enough, maybe.
I don't think kind's the right word. Like,
Yeah,
I instantly went to, okay, what waifu do I think I could definitely get to marry me? And it's not a kindness thing. It's not a kindness thing. It's
one
literally
that will accept you
the
as
exact
you
opposite
are.
of you.
Yeah.
Again, it's not even about accepting me. It's not even about accepting me. It's about her personality. So, okay. So if I'm going for like, I'm just bringing the waifu to this world, what happens, happens. Oh, see, it's so tough. It's so tough.
How about the one from Monster Musume? Ragnia or something?
See, that's a different thing. That's a different thing entirely, because that brings up a whole nother subset of questions. So I wasn't going down that route, because that raises way too
Oh
many other questions, like ethical questions. I will have PETA up my ass if I bring a Monster Musume girl to this world. Okay.
God.
So if I'm bringing one over to see if they'll marry me without necessarily it being almost guaranteed, it's going to probably be Akino from High School DxD,
Oh, no way. No way.
or crap, what's her name? What's her name? What's her name? High School of the Dead, the samurai. Blanking so hard.
Both of them. Oh,
Saijo?
man. Yeah, probably.
Saijo?
Sayo or Saijo or something like that.
On characters right now. My internet and my typing skills are not the fastest. Psycho. That's what it is. Psycho. Psycho Busajima. If I'm bringing them over, it's like I'm gonna roll the dice. It's probably gonna be Psycho or Akino. And I'm fully prepared to be like, yeah, no. They'd be like, damn, at least I shot my shot. Now, if I'm going for the personality type that would probably say yes, it comes down to three characters. It comes down to Toru from, crap, blanking hard today.
Kobayashi
Dragon
Mad
Maid.
Dragon?
There we go. Yes. Crap, what's her name? Ramil? Vermeil
Gold mill
and
in gold.
Gold.
Really?
Yes, Vermeil.
Oh my
And
God.
then, now, okay, now I'm going to give you a reason. I'm going to give you a reason.
Okay.
If I can, if I'm lucky enough to have the correct personality type and traits that would attract these two, they would for sure marry me and they'd be for sure devoted to me. Okay? Toru is absolutely in love with the other character because of who they are. Nothing else special, not just about looks, it's just about who she is as a person. I feel that I could be that I am a good enough person to where I could potentially elicit a similar response. Vermeil, if I was lucky enough to have the correct type of mana to get her to be like, I'll sit next to you for a hot second. I feel like my personality type would also ingrain myself to her the same way that the main character did. Now, I'm going to cheat on the next one.
You're going to cheat.
This is a total cheat. This is a total cheat move, okay? The third is Darkness from
Wow.
Konosuba. Here's
Wow.
why. Here's why. Now, mind you, these three are specifically do I like ones that I could probably get to marry me.
Darkness, yes, I can
Darkness?
see, yes.
Yes,
Probably,
because
yes.
as long as I treat, as long as the moment Darkness like does something dumb and I chastise her for it, she would
Yeah.
immediately fall gaga.
Yeah.
And then as long as I straddle the line of like keeping her under thumb to where she feels that urge and that rush of dopamine, she would probably marry me.
Yes.
Is this going to be a healthy marriage? Probably not. I mean, even without me in the equation, Darkness getting married is going to be an unhealthy marriage.
But she will
But
gladly
yeah.
marry you though. Yeah.
Right. So those are
Yes.
my three answers. Or my technically five answers. Akino or Psycho?
I don't know.
Absolutely not going to marry me. Will not marry me.
Yep.
possibly marry me. We've got Toru, Vermeil, and Darkness. Those are the ones I would roll the dice on.
Toru, maybe. Vermeil, if you have enough mana. But Darkness, yes. Oh my god. But out of them all, who would you choose to marry, though?
Who would I choose?
Yes.
I mean, if we're going off base waifu stats, which is just, like, we're going off base waifu stats with his looks, I'm fine across the board. I'm fine across the board. But if we're talking personality type...
Why not include the Monster Musume one?
I told you, because PETA would be all over my ass. Like, real talk. You don't know how terrible PETA is, bro. Like, they don't have PETA in Malaysia, do they?
I don't think so, no.
PETA came after Mario, okay? Came after Nintendo and Mario for his Tanuki suit.
Oh.
They made a whole last, like, little video game that you could play where it was Mario beating animals to death to steal their skin to protest Mario and his Tanuki suit, to protest animal cruelty. This is PETA, folks. I'm not bringing a snake girl, a horse girl, a bird girl, a fish girl. I don't know if they fuck with spiders like that. So Ragnar might be a safe bet, and Sue might be a safe bet, but I have a feeling Sue would kill me in my sleep on accident. Like, I have a feeling like Sue would roll over and then just coat me, and then I would suffocate.
Yeah, Sue, right? You're going to live on the edge, man. Yes. Every day is an
adventure. The problem is she's a slime. She spreads.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not trying to live on the edge. I'm trying to live to old age.
But Eminence in Shadows proves that slime can be used as anything that you want.
We're not going to talk about that. And that's the other thing. I'd have to make sure that Sue stayed hydrated.
Yeah.
Because she would shrink down into like a little girl. And I was like, then I'm really going to have people looking at me funny. So I have to make sure that I hydrate her every morning.
That is your daughter, so nothing wrong there.
Just no. I'm not going to pull a Woody Allen, okay?
So, there you go, Osiris. There's your answer. And we would like to hear from you, too. What is your take on this question, you know? So, yeah. Listen to this and reach back out to us. And, yeah, we will have a conversation about this. This is such an interesting question, though.
It went somewhere. It seemed so simple in the beginning, and then it went to such a weird place when you add the marriage aspect into it.
Yes.
Then when you add in the fact that they don't have to marry you, it makes it a much more interesting question.
That is the reality, though. If we can bring them to a real life, so we need to put like a reality into the rules itself, you know. So yeah, that is interesting. All right, so for you guys out there, if you want to reach out to us, like Osiris over there, you can always hit us up on the internet. Where can people find us on the internet, Shannon?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Shiitake Podcast. Damn it. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast. Or shoot us an email at shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Hey. So let's move on to our main topic of the week.
All right. So the main topic of this week, we are going to be reviewing, once again, Season 2 of Bleach, The Thousand Year Blood War, also titled The Thousand Year Blood War, The Separation.
The Separation, yeah.
The Separation.
Bankai.
Bankai. All right, and the synopsis, this one's going to come from Anime News Network, and it goes like this. with the secrets of his past and power finally revealed to him. Ichigo has reforged his Zanpakuto and can now continue his training under the Zero Squad. However, time is not on his side. Yuuk and his assembled Stern Ritter are on the war path once more, ready to finish their destruction of Soul Society and complete their millennium-long vengeance. What's more, their ranks have grown, with Uryu Ishida joining his fellow Quincy in their blood war. When the fates of every soul in the universe are at stake, Ichigo must find the strength to take on his own friend. That's the synopsis from Anime News Network. Let's hit scores and slogans, and let's talk about this.
All right. So for me, I'm hesitating on giving it a 7. But let's stay there for a while. 7. And my slogan for it is no name, no game.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with a 6.
All right. Okay, that's fair.
Like, and I'm debating between like a 5.5 and a 6.
All right.
And my slogan is, is it possible to have a second sophomore slump?
Oh my God. Shannon's rant incoming, man. Incoming.
Oh, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it.
Let's go.
It, sir. Woo!
Oh right. My God.
So before we start.
Okay.
Before we start. If you watched our first review, or our review of season 1 of the Thousand Year Blood War arc, you know we had a special guest, David, who was enjoying talking so much shit to me while we reviewed the show. And in response to that, with finishing season 2, I just got to say, hey, David. What happened to your boy, huh? What happened to Toshiro? What happened to Toshiro, sir? Toshiro got dead. He got dead in. He got murked. He got resurrected as a zombie twice. What happened to your boy?
Yeah, so all that talk.
Now that I got that out the way.
I mean, he's supposed to join us, right? He's supposed to join us this week.
I was hoping he would join us, but He's enjoying some well-deserved time off after a very busy 2 months. So I don't fault him for that. I know if he listens to this show, I'm going to hear so much shit. But that's okay. I'm fine with it. I said what I said.
He's become zombie and become like a puppet to like what is the maniac captain again? Don't remember his name.
Kurosuchi, I believe.
Yes, Kurosuchi. Come on now. Oh my God. All right, let's go. First of all, I think the whole story is just like jumping all around, in my opinion. It doesn't feel smooth, the transition and everything, and it's kind of feel like
it's definitely not smooth.
They kind of rush a bit towards the whole storyline, in my opinion. They can improve, but I think they have enough time, like a year, to improve on all the storyline. Because they already announced that this is going to be like a 4-parter arc. So we will see another 2-parter like the next 2 years. So I don't know. They are following the manga, right? And I think the manga is already finished. And
yeah,
sometimes it feels like the captain is just useless now. Sometimes I feel like the Quincy is not that strong. Sometimes it is just both silly and just nonsense. You know, why introduce like a magical girl type Quincy, like for offensiveness or something?
You know, I don't even care. What do we have magical girl Quincy's? Who are those?
The 4 or the 5 girls Quincy, like
okay, they were not magical girls. They were not
they are kind of like that.
Girls.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
No, okay. No, the first and primary prerequisite to being a magical girl is a transformation. They did not have a transformation, sir. The wings don't count. They did not have a transformation. They are not magical girls. They are Quincy's.
Okay.
That being said, can we talk about this Quincy bullshit?
Yes.
Because I was under the impression that Quincy's all used some form of shooting technique. Okay.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly,
they established
that in the original. No, the guns don't bother me. The guns don't bother me. That is still a projectile weapon. I'm fine with that. Okay. Explain to me how we got fire Quincy's, we got stretchy skin piranha looking bitches, we got zombifying bitches, we got fucking, hold on, let me scroll down this list. We got reality warping bitches. We got ones that can alter your body's internal chemistry. We got reality warping Quincy's. Yeah. We have ones that can turn thought into reality. Hold the fuck up. Where did these power sets come from? And again, I may be wrong, but I'm fairly sure that I remember lines of dialogue explaining that, especially when I believe it was a fight with Uryu, where they were like, oh, you can only fight with a bow and arrow, and then he pulled out a fucking sword that he basically that was basically an arrow out of Reishi. And at that point, I'm like, cool, I can be on board with that. It's still an arrow. You're just using it as a sword. I can get behind that. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Their ability is to take in Reishi and transform it and shoot Reishi.
Yes, I
no qualms with that. But when you have reality warping abilities to where you can compress another person into a fucking ball, you can turn pure thought where you are nothing more than a brain and you can alter reality. That's not the same shit. Not to mention, how the fuck did he lose?
And not only that,
because this shit makes no sense.
He's just a minion, right? He's not the king or anything like
that. He's just a minion.
The king doesn't have that power.
He's not even a top tier.
Yes.
No, he's not a top tier. But explain to me how he lost. Because he said, and I quote, I'm not going to say I quote because I don't remember the exact lines. He essentially said, I was trying to make myself as strong as you, but the only body that can handle this monstrous power is yours. Okay, fine, so your body broke down. How did you lose when you're just a brain? They literally then said, I don't have to lay a finger on you because he doesn't have fucking fingers. He's just a brain. How did you lose? The body you thought of died, but your brain still exists. So think of something else. This shit is so all over the place. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's a cool power too, right?
This is why... It's a cool power, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't make sense on a Quincy. It doesn't make sense on a Quincy.
Oh my god. And we have the zombie chick. Yeah, right, Quincy.
Yeah. Oh, I hit you with my blood, and my blood infects you and makes my blood take your blood into my blood, and I can control you like that. I'm sorry, what? Say, what now? How does that even make sense? And then they further go on to explain that she can then take her blood back to heal herself. Oh my god.
Give me back my blood. I want to heal myself. and then the other one is like fear. It plays on your fear or something. The one that attacked Bianca.
Right, but it wasn't your, but it's not. Right. But it's not your fear you're experiencing. It's my fear you're experiencing. The fuck, sir? What the fuck are you talking about? It's getting,
ridiculous and ridiculous. They are pulling stuff out of their ass now. Okay,
that power would have made perfect sense if this was Naruto. Because then it's a genjutsu.
Yes.
That would make perfect sense. In this world, where that power has never been a thing, it makes no sense. And even the Bankais are getting out of control. This is not just a Quincy problem. I'm going to talk some shit about Rukia right now. Okay. Rukia got a power up. I'm not mad at that. Mm-hmm. I'm mad at the explanation they gave for this bitch's power up. It's not that she cools down the world around, that she projects ice or creates ice. She cools herself down, which then cools down the world around her.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you took your fucking body down to negative, like negative absolute zero, like below absolute zero, and you didn't shatter.
Yep.
This makes no fucking sense. And then they tried to correct it by saying, you need to slowly bring your temperature back up and slowly reacclimate. Bitch, no, you already did. That's frostbite. Yeah. That's gangrene. You lost limbs.
The fact that
you don't she can still move. That.
She can still move in that temperature is something else.
I can't. Like, if they would have said this simple change... Hold on, I want to see if I can find her on here and actually read their description for her fucking Bankai. Because this shit is just asinine to me. Or maybe I understood it wrong. If that's the case, I'm fine admitting I read something wrong. But as far as I understand it, it's cooling down her body temperature.
Yes, not that is true.
If they would have simply said... Right, if they would have simply said, I can cool down the world around me while enveloping myself in a protective sheet, then I couldn't have an argument.
No.
But the fact that they specifically said, I cool down myself.
Yes, she's cooled down
it
herself.
It completely destroys it. Okay, Bankai. Haka no Togame, aka Censor of the White Haze. Or White Haze of Punishment, if you're reading the Viz novels. So her Bankai changes both her physical look and clothing she is wearing dramatically. Yeah, she looks like her damn brother. Rukia wears a white ankle-length kimono with lined patterns. The robe has an attached ornate collar. I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, special ability. Haka no Togame increases the area of influence of Rukia's ability to reach the temperature of absolute zero. Upon release, a pillar of cold mist rises up into the air from where Rukia is. Raising her blade towards her opponent, Rukia releases the massive waves of freezing cold air, similar to Tsugi no Mai Hakunen, Toshiro shit, that freezes anything in its path to absolute zero. Physical contact with Rukia herself causes others to begin freezing solid due to how cold her body is.
Yeah.
So let me go back up to her Shikai. Okay. This one's a lot more busy. Okay. So for her Shikai, she completely stops all the molecules in her body, preventing any material or substance attempting to affect her from doing so because it cannot enter her body. However, someone uses an optical attack on her, it will affect her because her nerves are still working. Rukia can lower her body temperature to a point at which the ground below her freezes instantly, causing ice quakes, and can even reduce her temperature to absolute zero, though she can only safely maintain this temperature for no more than 4 seconds. They moved her Shikai ability. So in this article, they're confusing her Shikai with her Bankai. I believe, because the 4 second rule, I never heard that until she released her Bankai.
Yes.
But it's right there. Can reduce her temperature to absolute zero.
Yeah.
If you reach absolute zero. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to tell you what absolute zero is in all forms of fucking temperature reading.
Yeah.
Absolute zero. Okay. So absolute zero, if you are in Celsius, in other words, you're not American, is negative 273.15 degrees. Negative 273 degrees. If you're in Fahrenheit, it's negative 459.67 degrees, okay? That is the lowest possible temperature. That is absolute zero, okay? Absolute zero is impossible to reach.
Yep.
Okay, coldest survivable temperature. The coldest survivable temperature, so the temperature at which your body starts to deal with hypothermia and things like that, this begins, hold on, they're not giving me a system for that, here we go. The lowest temperature in which a human can survive is negative 32 Celsius or negative 26 Fahrenheit. You are 400 degrees short, sir. More than 400 degrees short of survivability. If you're using Celsius, you're negative 200 degrees below survivability. And you're telling me that she can survive at this for 4 seconds. At hundreds of degrees below the survivability of the human body. get the fuck out of here with that shit. It makes no sense. None. All you had to do was add one line of dialogue saying that it does not affect her body, but the area around her.
But she did say that. She did say that she remains the spiritual pressure within her body to keep her body moving in that temperature.
Right, to keep her body moving. That doesn't fix the problem. If you're using your spiritual energy to move your body, but your body is at absolute zero, that means you are past the point where your muscles, skin, everything else that you're made of is solid. So moving it would cause it to break.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear nobody say, well, but the spiritual bodies don't work like that. Kiss my ass. You got Toshiro freezing people. You got Toshiro and her freezing people. If that was the case, if their bodies didn't work like that, then their weapons would be useless. The ice weapons specifically in this conversation. Because the ice still affects those people the same way that it affects people in the real world.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways.
That is just one, though. There's others. One guy that is just ridiculous, too.
Wait, well, no, because the only other Bankai that was new was Renji's, because he had his full release, but we still didn't get to see that thing to its full potential.
Yeah. They are playing with that. You don't see its true name, so it doesn't really release its full power or something like that. Come on now.
Yeah. But his true Bankai is more, it turns into almost like a cowl at this point.
Yeah.
So that one didn't bother me.
Yeah. And the Squad and Zero
One. Yeah, just
Squad Zero One is just like a massive swing machine.
Yeah. I don't even know what to make of that one.
Oh my! A massive swing machine and a paintbrush, a giant paintbrush.
The paintbrush didn't go Bankai though, did he?
Yes.
He just released a Shikai.
No, Bankai too. To rewrite Yuhawa.
That was the
name.
Black one, right?
The black is Shikai. The white one is Bankai. The black one to erase his name. The white one to rewrite his name.
Here we go. Senju Maru Shutada. It's equipment. I don't care about your equipment. It's powers and abilities. Immeasurable spiritual pressure. Oken. Zambakuto. Here we go. So the release command of it is unknown. Takes the form of an undersized sewing needle. Can wield as a melee weapon. Blah, blah, blah. Her Bankai is Shatatsu Karagara Shigarami. Yeah, I'm the fucking butcher of this. Shatu Karagara Shigarami no Suji. Crossing Osaha's gate, Kala's corpse, and piercing entanglements. Upon activating the area around Senjumaru is engulfed by darkness, while a Tori-like structure rises from the ground. Senjumaru then extends her skeletal arms back towards the structure as if in prayer. Emitting iridescent light, the gate expands to form a massive golden loom, produces endless swaths of red ribbon, or red cloth, one rolling out like a carpet that goes across other smaller cloths, connecting to multiple tapestries, blah, 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 blah. So it allows her to manipulate the space enclosed by her Bankai with her cloth works, literally weaving and sealing victims' fates within her.
Yeah.
She doesn't really make a lot of sense. But there's like 6 other abilities built into this Bankai. I think 7. But so it's the loom of the 6 colored floating patterns of death. The first one is unravel 1 Hank, eyes of many branches. Then it's the unravel 2 Hanks, armor of blade metal. So it looks like each one is a separate attack. So the first one reflects her image as well as the victim's attacks back onto them, as the latter is damaged by their own power. So basically, the first one, the eyes of many branches, makes you attack yourself with your own abilities, killing you. Second one, basically an Iron Maiden situation. The third one, Rippling black hawk covered in gray spiral fractals transforms into a pit of whirling black sand that swallows targets whole. So sand coffin or sand burial. The fourth one, freezing bed linens. Use the claw to invoke an arctic environment, binding and freezing targets solid. The fifth is burning fields. Basically, if framing a hallway, they emit fire capable of reducing the targets to ash. She chants, until turned to ash, there shall be no escape. So basically, until you die, you're not getting out. And then the last one, which she used on Uryu, was Star of the Dark Night. Surrounded by a pattern resembling siphoned off energy particles, the piece seems to capture the act of Aswalin and can mimic its effects by draining the target of their energy. So in other words, this one basically just wrings you dry. So it's a very powerful Sanpakuto, but it's still kind of weird because you create, like, I don't think there's any other Sanpakuto that create an entirely different dimension, is there?
There is, but I don't remember.
I don't remember there being one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is possible because all of the top tier captains, I guess, has like a very versatile Bankai, right? Like Genryusai. His Bankai has like four stages or something, you know?
It has four stages of release, yeah.
Yeah, so it is possible for the Scott Zero captain has like ridiculous type of Bankai too. So that is just one, I guess. You can see like another three or four at works. So I don't know. But really though, the old guy with the paintbrush, really now? You cannot make him any cooler than that. Manaka Osho. Manaka Osho.
Could make him any fucking creepier.
Yeah.
Like when he was gonna kill him, he got way too creepy smiled.
Yeah.
Ichibei Hoyosube. Ichibei Hoyosube. Zanpakuto. So he has takes the form of a large calligraphy brush, as we see. Ink manipulation. Conceal, can hide large physical objects, can create boundaries that cannot be passed, can sever names. So basically, if you cut your name in half, your power is cut in half. Release the Shikai is blackened. So upon release, the brush has somewhat of a short glaive. Whenever he swings it, his blade releases ink. Anything that's covered loses its name and thus its power. Each time he releases it, all the colored black from all beings, dead or alive, become his power. With that, he has power absorption. This technique takes away all the darkness in his opponent, including their flesh, blood, and bones, until nothing is left. The destruction is absolute. That's a badass one. I don't think we even saw that one. Then he has Shinuchi. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he didn't release Bankai. Everything we saw was Shikai, dude.
No, Bankai.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't think he released Bankai.
He did release Bankai.
No, he didn't release Bankai. No, he didn't. That's the thing.
The white
one. I'm literally reading his... Okay, the white one is Shinuchi. That is Shirafude Ichimonji. White brush, straight line.
Yeah.
That one, that's... Oh, that's weird. Every other time they did this, they separated Bankai from Shikai. They didn't do that with this one. It just literally falls under Shikai.
Because he said that
you're right.
In modern terms, that is Bankai. He said, "Yeah, I remember that."
Yeah. So instead of Bankai, Ichimonji was the first Sanpakuto. Blah 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 blah. So a special ability can give and change the name of targets who have been struck by the ink of Ichimonji by writing kanji on their body. Doing so gives his target the properties and powers of the name granted. For example, by changing the name to Black Ant, his opponent would be weak and powerless as an ant. See, this one, but this isn't that crazy, though, because it's still a direct inflict on his opponent. It's not something like the random-ass Quincy. Hold on, I'm going to pull up what Quincy this is, because this shit annoyed me.
The V, Visionary. Yeah, the Visionary Quincy.
I gotta go through all these. There's too many fucking characters in this show.
Let the V, man.
And they're not in order, so it also doesn't help. What if I just look by his face?
By his face.
He's actually not shown on the list. That's interesting.
Because he is a minion. It is not that important.
Well, no, they're showing everyone. but they're not showing that one. So you have Gremmy, who was the one who could alter reality with his imagination. That motherfucker's broken ass power. And then, okay, as far as magical girls, I'll give you Meninas, the pink haired one. She was kind of magical girly. I'll give you that one.
I mean, oh yeah, all of the other ones are kind of magical girls. So they have like a squad or something, you know, like 4 or 5 member squad.
Yeah, the magical girl light.
Yeah, it like that, yeah. If they transform, right, I will just shut off the show completely.
See, again, and even here, it repeats exactly what the hell I said, and it's still stupid. So for the dude who could imagine, who could alter reality with his thoughts, it said, if he's, Grimmie does not imagine his body to harden to sufficient levels, a strong enough opponent can cut through his body. Although Gremmy can increase his spiritual power to match the likes of an individual such as Kenpachi, since he could not imagine a body capable of containing that power, it severely damaged his body and killed him. But he did not have a real body. It was his imagination.
Yeah.
So if your body is like, oh, my body's failing, I will imagine a body that is 10 times... I will, like, why did he could have imagined that he was Kenpachi.
Yeah.
He could have imagined he was Kenpachi and contained that power. That's why I'm like, his death was such a cop-out.
Yeah,
not only did you give him a power that don't make no sense, you made him a cop-out.
And to make him like a minion is such a bad option, you know? They should have made
he should have been fighting Squad Zero.
Yes. And they are just making this top-tier ridiculous power fighting Kenpachi for some reason. Oh my. Such a waste of power. And we have like somebody like shooting guns fighting the Squad Zero. Oh my god.
Yeah, like, that doesn't bother me as much.
It's and still the other one is just like weapon. Just like what? Ban from Nanatsu no Taizai, 7 Deadly Sins, that guy that cannot die. Pretty much. Yeah. Just why though? Just why? I think the zombie chick, the ridiculous power, the third one, should be the royal guard and not the other two.
Agreed. But we still may not have seen everything from them because they keep coming back to life. They just keep trading back and forth. Oh, we're going to die. Oh, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. They literally traded places between, oh, I'm winning and I'm losing like 4 times in that little span.
Yeah, I mean, the final battle with Yuhawa and... Manako Osho is just too simple. I think that is not the real Yuhawa or something like that. They are pulling the same trick that they did in the first season, I think. Because
not necessarily with Yuhawa.
Mm-hmm.
Not with Yuhawa. I'm talking about with the Stern Ritter and Squad Zero.
Yeah. Because
when Stern Ritters first showed up, they killed I already forgot her name. The sewing one.
Yeah.
Then she came back to life like, surprise, I'm not dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept going back and forth between getting wounded and being like, oh, I'm holding back my true power. To, oh, I'm wounded, I'm holding back my true power. And then mm-hmm. Osvalin is like, oh, I'm holding back my true power. Too many times. Like, I'm sitting here questioning, was this just another one where it's like, not my true power? Are they coming back mm-hmm. again?
I wish David was here to explain this stuff. Because as of now, we are just making assumption now, you know? The nonsense is just getting more and more out of hand.
Because we're only going to be able to make assumptions until season 3 comes out.
Yes, next year. Yeah. And
full year before season 2, was it?
It's a full year, man. I think.
Oh.
And what's the deal with Ichigo, though? What's the point of Ichigo going down?
Right, we ain't.
And now you have to go up back up again.
He didn't swing. He came down to save somebody's life and then went right back up. He ain't. And then he didn't even show off no real power. Yes. He used Tetsuga Tensho again, Getsuga Tensho mm-hmm. again, and that was it.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, all that training, you still just throwing Getsuga Tenshos.
All the new kimono and two swords of the Sasaku or something like that. And he has to go up again. For what reason now? For what reason, man? And Ishida, what's the deal with Ishida, though? Is he trying to be a bad guy, or he's trying to kill off all of the other Quincy's or something like that? From the looks of it, Ishida doesn't power up that much, even though he has given the letter A. He's just really now. And the king pisses me off. If the minion has that some ridiculous power, why not the king has that kind of power too, right? Because in the end, all of the power comes from the king.
Right, but if he gives it away, he doesn't have it anymore. That's why he has to reabsorb them to get that power back.
And he absorbed it back. And he doesn't release all of that power, I guess. Not yet.
Right, but what powers are we looking at that for the ones who've died? Like, the powers that the ones who have died are all pretty weak powers that we've seen so far. Like, we had fear.
The power of imagination is quite strong. You just have to imagine stuff.
See, but we don't know if he got that back because he didn't use his ability to take it back. He died first.
Yeah, he died first. But all of the other Quincy's that died goes back to the king, right? I remember that.
We've
that
only
line.
Seen it when they killed them. Right, but we've only seen it when they killed them. Because when he killed them, they had that Quincy symbol above their heads, which did it. And then when he used the Osgallon.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it where they just die and then he gets their power back. They said something akin to that, but we don't really know if that's how it works.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, Squad One doesn't really have a battle. They have he's drinking tea and have a conversation with the top tier general, the Royal Guard. That's it. He's not even gonna fight. I don't know, man. I don't know what to think of this season two. It's just another introduction, or just features more of the Quincy ridiculous power, I guess. In the end, most of the other characters doesn't really matter in the end because they died. And do you think that the other captain that died is really die? Is that the end of them? Is that the end of Toshiro, man?
Like, homeboy's literally, Toshiro, but then even, aside from Toshiro, the other two, they literally became captains at the end of the show. Came back for one season, had one appearance, and got murked.
Yeah, they need to explain how their bankai works and stuff, very quick and dirty way, too. And then they kill the characters. Really? And we don't know what happened to Rangiku, though. Right? Rangiku is still missing from the looks of it?
I think so.
Yeah, only... I don't know, man. It's just ridiculous and all messed up. But I enjoyed the fight, regardless, though.
Most of the fights were good.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was repetitive.
Yeah. What else could they do, though? Because at this moment, they are pulling stuff out of their ass. The story is very simple.
This story has been around for damn near 20 years, bro.
Yeah.
Near 20 years.
But if they are stay true to the manga, I don't think they are going to change the story at this point forward, you know?
They need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. And one more thing. So they set a new rules where Quincy's are really anti-holo, and all of the holo blood is really poisonous to them. So since our main character is half Quincy, why he can do the holification and why the blood of holo doesn't affect him?
I don't know. Like, I am thoroughly, like, baffled by a lot of the decisions in, like, the storytelling. I really am. Yeah. And I'm trying not to be annoyed 6 ways from Sunday.
Because they set this rule just because for them to steal back the stolen Bankai, right? Just for that reason.
Right.
But I think
just that for that reason. They said that the Quincy's hate Hollows before, but they never said that they were poisonous to Quincy's.
Yeah.
And then the question of, like, how are they, why are they poisonous to Quincy's? What about a Hollow makes them poisonous to Quincy's?
Yeah, right. I mean, from the looks of it, it just, like, it makes, they cannot use the stolen Bankai, and it doesn't really affect their body or anything like that, right? Only the Bankai just return back to its owner or something. So I don't know. What is so poisonous about Hollow to Quincy? Why they need to, like, eliminate Hollow? Yeah. It's just getting more and more convoluted at this point, just because of that one scene that they are pulling. So I don't know, man. I don't know. But I love Kurotsuchi power with the time loop and stuff.
that was interesting.
Yeah, it is because of the drug or something, but still the time loop. Oh my. Wow, things really gotten really scary and creepy and crazy at the same time. At first, I think that Kurotsuchi's Bankai is just some sort of a ridiculous monster that doesn't really do anything. But now, Kurotsuchi is just one step towards a good captain, you know? Even though, like, his ideal is not really good. Byakuya is just, I don't know what's the deal with Byakuya. Sometimes his Shikai is strong, sometimes it doesn't really do a thing. And
well, I think that's what they were trying to show is that he forgot the true power of his Shikai. And he had to relearn what it was about and how to use it properly, is what it made it seem like. But then they didn't really explain what that means.
Yeah. He just, like, woken up from like, injured state and has no time to train or something like that, you know? Same goes for the other one, most of them. I don't know, man. They're only, like, very short of time, amount of time to train or power up themselves. Other than Renji and Ichigo. But still, Rukia got a power up, got a Bankai or some sort, you know. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And why introduce, like, the old Arankaru that doesn't really matter to us audience? Do you remember this Arankar?
Was Grimmjow, wasn't it?
Grimmjow number 6, yes. Espada number 6.
Oh, no. You're talking about the 4.
That was weird. Why not introduce the Espada, right? Why not include the cool Espada into the battle?
I don't know.
And one more thing, Orihime is like voice actress still doesn't suit the character. Orihime's character is still tripping me out, you know. That is not the same.
I'm more like curious as to who decided on Orihime's outfit.
I don't know. I think that is the old outfit, right? When she's trapped in Hyukomondo or something? No?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the outfit from Hyukomondo.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Let me look it up real quick. But, like, this outfit they got her in is just, like, all tilly all the time. And while I am an opai aficionado, this seemed a bit excessive. Yeah. No, okay. The Waco Mundo outfit is literally she's covered up to her neck.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Yes. Uh-huh. But this one is just
so like
really, really emphasizing her breasts.
It's literally like, why you even got a collar on that thing?
Yeah.
It's literally a collar at the neck and then all the titty and just a little bit of connecting piece at the bottom. Like, yep. Did you like put it, zip it up and then the zipper split? Like, what was the plan here?
I mean, if you are talking about outfit, I think all of the Quincy's power with the wing and stuff is just ridiculous to me, you know?
It doesn't make a ton of sense as to why they got wings now.
Yeah, it is like, ridiculous when they got all cape and stuff, and now they are adding wings and whatever the heck, like, above their head. It's just, wow. Who designed this sort of characters, though? It's just damn ridiculous now. So, I don't know what to think of this season, or at least this arc. We got like two more of this kind of season, the next 2 years.
How you got two more seasons of story in this?
I don't know.
This really felt like this should have been like half a season.
Yeah. They could have ended it like in like 3 or 4 episodes, from the looks of it, you know, because Yuha is already at the royal palace. I think they will have like a battle with Ichigo of some sort, and he died, and he is going to fight Ishida, and the other ones is just going to fight the other captains or what, the other characters, I guess, because Chet is there. Orihime is there, Yoruichi is there. So I think that completes the whole pairing of battle, in my opinion. So I don't know. From the plan, yes, they have 2 seasons more of this. I don't know, if they are keeping with this kind of pacing and with this kind of nonsense, I don't know what else the fans of the show will think about it. To the manga readers, I cannot say. That's why I am disappointed that David cannot join us today. But it cannot be helped. I think he has the answer for our question here. Because from the looks of it, he has already finished the manga. And he knows all of the story arc and stuff. And he's really into Squad 10 Captain Toshiro for some reason. The zombie kid. Too bad. Too bad. So yeah. All the things that I can say about this is that we just have to wait and see if this finale will go up to the moon or just go down to the grave. Other than that, which of the battle that you enjoy the most in here, man, so far?
Honestly, I would have to say specifically, hang on, let me find his name. All right, so, oh, here we go. It's Oetsu Nemaya. So his battle, so he's Squad Zero. He's the god of the sword. He's the one who creates all the Zapakuto
one. Yeah, the rapper one.
Yes. So legit, I don't think he raps at all, does he?
He raps. He's kind of like a killer bee from Naruto.
Didn't we talk about that shit?
Yes.
Didn't we talk about y'all making every black anime character fucking rap? Knock that shit off.
Anyways. He did rap. And he did annoy me.
Right. The fact that he was using the Zanpakuto that he considers to be a failure because it's too sharp.
Like, not a failure. He's using too perfect.
No Shikai. No, he called it a failure because it can't, because it's too sharp. It can't even be put into a sheet. Yeah. So it has to be stored in oil. Mm-hmm. So he actually did say it was a failure.
Yeah, he said that, but I think it's too perfect.
If you have a sword that you cannot put into a sheath, that is a failure of a sword.
But for a weapon, I think that is ultimate weapon of some sort.
Yeah, so it's a Saya Fushi, aka Sheath Cover or Sheath Dodger. An extremely sharp sword forged by Nemaya. Its forte is somewhat unstable. Due to Nemaya not having drawn it in a long period of time, Nemaya considers Saya Fushi a failed creation because its blade is too sharp and its edge is too smooth. It never chips or scratches from use, and blood slides right off of it immediately. Because of this, no sheath can hold it, which means it fails to meet the basic definition of a sword.
Yeah.
So it is one that he considers a failure, but it's too good of a sword. And the fact that it just slices through everything. That fight was just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like no flashy techniques. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm just going to cut you. I'm just going to cut you in one hit. And then does it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. But it's a sword, right? Is a pen brush a sword?
I mean, if there's a sword inside of it.
I don't know. I don't know, man. But yeah. It's just ridiculous. It is just ridiculous, man. For me, despite what the hate that we give towards the guy with the imaginary power, I think the battle is quite good. I think the battle is quite good. I enjoyed all the ridiculousness that he can came up with. And at the end, he just like summoned like a meteor out of nowhere to hit Zaraki. I think that is ridiculous. And the way he died is, he wasn't supposed to die like that. He can just like say, imagine I have your body or the toughness of your body or something like that. And yeah, he can survive. He can survive even Ichigo though. But instead, he's just like, oh no, my body cannot handle your power. And yeah, I died.
Yeah, my imaginary body that is technically not keeping my brain alive cannot handle your power.
Mind you, he can create another human being with a ridiculous power too, right? That old guy that can like erase his existence or something like that. I think that is quite great as well. Even though that is just his imagination. So why not pull that one out of them too? Right? Just create another one of that kind of soldier or army or clone. I don't know. Too bad. Too bad it is not like the top tier Royal Guard or something like that. Oh my god. Waste. Such a waste, you know? Other than that, character that really annoys you, man.
Oh. Annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone really stands out for annoying.
For me, all of the magical girl-like Quincy's, they annoys me so much. Especially the girl with the thunder strike or something like that.
Yeah.
And also a zombie boy, not a zombie chick. He is a guy. He is a guy, man. He's a trap. Oh my god. I don't know. Other than that, I like Yachiru's power. Finally, they are showing off some of Yachiru's power. Yachiru is the vice captain, the kid that always like sit on top of Zaraki's shoulder.
Oh, yeah. The one who sits on Zaraki's shoulder.
Yeah. So what happened to her? What happened to her, really? Is she dead?
Well, she got sent back because she got her arm broke. No, she got sent. That's right. She disappeared.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they never said what happened to her.
They only show her Shikai. Even her Shikai is interesting, though. He can just swing the sword and it will hit the target, no matter what. That is just a Shikai. What about her Bankai, right? What else that she can do? I'm really intrigued now. So, one more thing. What is Azaraki's true Shikai, though? He released it, right? He released his Shikai?
No, he didn't release it.
To counter the meteor, I think?
No, he just cut. I don't believe so. I think he just cut through it. Hold on. Let me pull up Zaraki.
I think he released his Shikai. Finally.
I don't think so.
Let's see.
Are you at Kenpachi? You know, it's almost like you would think we just watched the show and would remember, but there's a lot going on.
Yeah. To be fair, I almost skipped an important episode. The side that
I'm on. Skipping episodes, always talking shit to me.
I almost, but I managed to watch it last night for some reason. The side that I'm watching it. No, you're right.
He did release it.
Yeah. So what is a Shikai really?
It's pretty much. It said takes on the form of a great axe or war cleaver. So possesses tremendous additional attack power, easily destroying a huge meteorite with a single attack. Its cutting power is also greatly enhanced, and obviously cut even through space itself. I'm purposely not reading the Bankai because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, good. So he can cut space.
Yeah, he just turned it into a giant cleaver, and it just gets stronger and sharper, essentially.
That's it. He can cut through space and time, I guess. No. Not time, but space. But mm-hmm. Maybe eventually he can cut through time. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, I almost skipped an episode, an important episode too. Episode 12. The site that I'm in mislabeled the episode. Episode 13 as episode 12. So, yeah. I mean, I feel suspicious after I watch the whole show. And I go back to like the other site to check it out. And yeah, I missed an episode and I watched it last night. Damn. I almost missed an episode, man. But I didn't, so that's good. So all right, so let's conclude the whole show. So last word about this part of Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. What do you think, man, for this season at least?
It fell short. So really short. I was really expecting more as far as story was concerned. Like, sure, the battles were great, but I was really expecting more as far as the storyline was concerned. And even the fight started to fall a little short in parts, but
yeah, we didn't really see they use the Bankai that they stole, right? At least give us more of that before they steal right back in. Like Yuha, why not show us the Genyusai Bankai? Even though that is not Yuha that steal the Bankai, right? It's the clone or something?
Yeah, but he gave it to Yuha.
At least give Yuha like a chance to use Genyusai Bankai so that we will see like some awesome Quincy's battle using like Shinigami's power or some sort, you know, but they just steal the powers right back in, and yeah, that's it. I think that is a bad option. That is the bad action to take. It just makes like stealing the Bankai is just mean really nothing. It's just like delaying time for them at least. That's it. Now they have power up, they have their Bankai back, and from the looks of it, even Bankai can be holified. I don't know. And Quincy has released all of their powers, and from the looks of it, it doesn't really mean much to the Soul Reaper now. They can fight at an even footing, at least now. I don't know what else they could have pulled out. But maybe they have a trump card or something. Who knows? But yeah, from the plan itself, they have like another two seasons to finish this arc. Maybe this will get better. I don't know, but I'm really doubting it. And maybe we can ask David if this really follows the true manga storyline or not, or maybe they have changed stuff, or maybe they cut stuff out from the manga. I don't know. We can ask David for this, maybe, and maybe we can update the whole thing in the other season. Who knows? So as for now, this is just okay. Maybe I will drop my score quite a bit, maybe like 6.5, because of all the nonsense that Quincy have now. It's an okay show. Like you said, maybe we suffer a second suffer more slump. Maybe they cannot recover from their greatness that they have achieved before. I don't know. Maybe this is just only a hype and they are going downhill from this point forward. Who knows? But we can only hope, and we have to wait and see. Yeah. I guess that's it. That is the end of our review of Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, the Separation Arc. If you like what you heard here, please give us a like, give us a follow, and give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen to this podcast on. So for our Fang FM, it's going to be my turn next. And I've decided for us to watch something like really light and really chill, really cheerful. But I don't know, I just choose something out of my back catalog. So we are going to watch Papa no Yukoto for Kiki Nasai. I don't know what is his English name. I can translate it for you. I can translate it for you.
Say it again. Papa what?
Papa no Yukoto wo Kiki Nasai.
Listen to me, girls. I am your father.
Yeah, pretty much.
What the hell you got me watching?
I don't know. I just picked something up randomly, like always.
Oh, God. So well, let's see if we're going to round out this year on a dumpster fire.
I don't know. We have watched some of the dumpster fire, right, this year? For you, at least. You really hate...
I called one dumpster fire, but we didn't have any official dumpster fires.
Yeah. You really hate Aku no Hana, and you really hate Evangelion. I guess that that counted.
Yeah, but you know the rules. It's not a dumpster for you. No, it's not a full dumpster fire unless both of us declare it a dumpster fire.
Yes. Should we rewatch that dumpster fire for the podcast?
No. No. You couldn't pay me enough, sir. You know better. We don't discuss the forbidden anime, okay?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it is far better than School Days and Higurashi, I guess. It is just a dumpster fire. Yeah. All right. We watch Papa no Yukoto no wo Kiki Nasai. We are going to watch that next. If you have any comment or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on the interweb. Where can people find us on the interweb, Shannon?
You can find us, as always, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Damn it. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Fuck my life. I'm tired today. Or shoot us an email at shiitakepodcast@gmail.com. If you send me anything on Twitter, I'm not responding.
X, man. X. What are you talking about?
It's Twitter. So said fucking musky boy decides that he wants to change the name. Doesn't mean he's actually going to fucking stick.
He's the boss. So what?
Yeah, shitty boss. And guys, let's give a huge shout out to the creators of our new intro and outro music. Well, Mats, go ahead and handle that.
Yeah, if you notice, we have a new intro, and yeah, if you listen to last week's episode, we have a new outro too. So shout out to C43 and PlaySound from pixabay.com. Thank you guys for letting us use your awesome music for our intro and outro. I will put the link to their music in the description below from this point forward, so you can check them out. They produce like a copyright free music, but still you need to ask permission to use their music still. Yeah, you can check them out in the description down below from this point forward. All right, with that being said, let's end the podcast like usual. Whew. I guess like a giant paintbrush, it's also like a powerful weapon. But anything you do out there, please be safe out there and please don't die.
When you're trying to save the Soul King from apparently his son, I think.
No, I don't think so.
There's still time. No, the way that he described it, he sounds like the way he was describing it, he kept referring to him as father. So we won't say father. But beside that point, there's still time to distract yourself with Opai thanks to Orihime.
Yeah, what is a Soul King really? Like a giant blob of light?
I don't know. He kept referring to him as a blob of flesh. I don't know. This is...
Yeah,
season
I mean,
3 got some heavy lifting to do.
Even Ichigo just...
This is the end of the... This is the end of the show. This is not the point to dive into other shit. This is the end of the show. We want to talk about more about the Soul King? Gotta wait till season 3 come out. Say it with me now, everybody. Shiitake!
Shiitake!